Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Everywhere. Pastor Robert Thibodeau here. I want to welcome you to the Kingdom Crossroads podcast today as I am concluding an amazing two-part interview with an amazing young visionary, Christopher Jones, the founder of an amazing nonprofit called Mall of Hope. Amen. His vision is not only to address a problem, but to offer solutions to several problems all through one platform. Praise God. You know, I've seen many nonprofits over the years, and they address various symptoms of various problems. But you never really know how much of every dollar is going where. But Christopher is outlining a program that puts 90% of every dollar invested to work addressing the problem and not into administrative costs. Amen? If you missed any of the prior episode, go back and get caught up. I don't have the time to rewind and play very much of yesterday's portion of the interview. What I will do, though, is rewind just a little bit and allow Christopher to share about all of the various projects that are included in the Mall of Hope. Now, let's jump back into this interview with Christopher Jones. Can you just give us some examples of the different opportunities to sow into other people's lives and different causes that you have on the Mall of Hope?
Yeah, definitely. The first one would be a modified restroom for the hearing impaired. And I got this idea actually from watching a TV show called Switched at Birth, where the one girl couldn't hear anything and knew sign language and all that, but she wanted to work in a restaurant. And it shows different issues that arise from her trying to work in the restaurant, like backing into someone who's carrying food and all that. So by modifying that, we can create a restaurant to enable new opportunities to people with disabilities. And use that as a groundbreaking effort to start to show that there's ways that we can make new opportunities for people with different disabilities to go into different industries, starting with a restaurant, using the proceeds from that to go into something else, and then just making it where everything is more, you know, equal opportunity employment. Mm-hmm. Even though they say it is, it really isn't. And then the next one would be, if we were to take veterinary clinics and have them work together, they can provide direct assistance to families who can't provide for surgeries and so forth. Have that run through the nonprofit's tax deductible donation based on a mutually agreed upon value from multiple veterinary clinics, legal processing, and all that other stuff. And that would be where you know that 100% of the amount in that section is going to the actual cause. Yeah. And then people Amen. Who donate to that, if that place has already matched out their quota, what they're willing to do each year or for that year, then they can say that there's this person candidate who's looking for help, and then they can go through that side of the funding source through the 90-10, like I had discussed mm-hmm. before. Yeah. And then those individuals who couldn't normally afford it would now have the opportunity to get, like, let's say their pet has cancer in the eye and has to be removed or something like that. Who knows what the circumstance might be, but people who have PTSD and such, they depend on their animals because that's what gives them the love and the affection to want to stay alive and all that.
Yep. Amen. I understand that completely with my military background. Amen. What other nonprofits do you have? And not the nonprofit, but what other opportunities do you have? Like the most popular
I have another
ones.
Thing. Yeah, another one that I want to work on is a modified sand design. Because, see, we're running out of normal sand for beaches and all that because we use it for construction materials. Mm. And we can't use, like, say, desert sand because it's too fine and it can't cohesively connect to the materials that are used in the construction. Okay. But what if we were to take one of the other issues with this plastic and then try to design a combination of melting a little bit of the plastic that's in this world that's just sitting there with the desert sand to create a new opportunity to be able to create a new type of sand that can cut down on us messing with the normal sand and actually start solving the problems that we have between plastic and desert sand not being usable.
Amen. Man, how'd you come up with that idea?
I don't know. It's all God's will, whatever I come up with.
That is awesome. That's an awesome. I mean, that takes care of two problems with one solution. Amen. Amen. That is awesome. Have you had anybody reach out to you about that concept yet? Because that, I think, is awesome.
Pretty much this is the first thing I'm going live on.
Praise God. Amen. Amen. What else you got?
For the poverty in Africa, what if all the nations were to transfer over electronic stuff and have people who in Africa take apart those electronics, and then we can reuse the different parts of those electronics, and now people who are trying to live on $3 to survive can now make their own living and be able to survive that way, which would literally completely destroy the donate so much a week for you to help support a family in Africa. No offense, guys, but the goal with a nonprofit is actually to solve the problem and make it where they can take care of themselves.
Amen. And teach them a skill. Amen.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. Amen. Because you know, what's the saying? If you give a man a fish, you feed him for the day. But if you teach him how to fish, you feed him for a lifetime.
That's exactly right, and that's really what the goal is, because if we want to ever truly solve the problems, we got to find a way to make it where it's almost automatic. The solution is always perpetually solving itself, because one issue is solving another issue, and it spins around into three different types of issues.
Yeah, amen, amen. What's another popular one that you want to promote?
Another one that I want to work on is a mattress solution, because, you know, how many times do we end up replacing a mattress because one part gets damaged and then we end up throwing it to a landfill? It takes up all this space. But what if we could actually be able to wash the mattress, even if you're elderly, be able to move your mattress, because it wouldn't be in such big increments. And then you can take the part that is damaged and replace that part. And this will completely cut down on the landfills a whole bunch and allow you to save tons of money and even customize the shape and all that of your mattress.
Amen. And I'm taking that you'd have a method of sanitizing and sterilizing all that stuff included in your production? Yeah. Amen. That's a good idea.
Part would be divided based upon the different pieces of that mattress. Yeah. And then certain parts would be washable, obviously. Some parts won't be, because some things, if you put it in the water or whatever, it's completely destroyed. But for the parts that can be washable, then you do that. And the parts that are no longer usable, there should be a way that you can send that in and get some type of credit and then use that for something else, whether it's after being cleaned properly and all that. We can use that for, say, seed starters for plants and all that or something like that.
Amen. Amen. I know you got a lot of different projects on there. Give us a couple more. I'm telling you, folks, when I reviewed Christopher's website, I was blown away. And he's got videos describing each one of these things, okay? So it's not just like he's got a list, say, here, pick what you want. He has a video that you can listen to that will describe in detail what he's sharing with us here. So go ahead, Christopher. Didn't mean to interrupt you there.
Yeah, no problem. Another item that I had planned was for the homeless. If we were able to take, say, 5,000 people and put them onto a certain area of land, they could create food in one of the three different levels of renewing their skill set. So they can see if they're a labor person or a tech person or a customer service person. Now, when they're doing the labor stuff, they're able to create food and then have that sent out to food pantries and those who are in poverty and all that, who can't afford their food, are soup kitchens. Mm-hmm. And then some of the produce of the food can go to, say, if I can get Gerbil Life involved in this, then they could turn that into baby food and then help feed families who are struggling, who have children under the age of, like, let's say, 2 or whatever it is. Right. I don't have a kid. I don't know. But that's like the idea is what I had in mind. Amen. And not only would that solve one thing, but, you know, if you do have fruit trees, you're able to help clean out the oxygen in the atmosphere. Especially if you take consideration that it takes one, for every death that is cremated, it takes two trees an entire year to clean the atmosphere of the chemicals and all that that cremation put out there in the atmosphere. And with us cutting down trees and all that, we need to be able to put that back in play. And if it's a fruit tree, you're not going to cut that down because that's creating a harvest that allow us to create food for people who need that.
Amen. Amen. And what about the land for the trees? Is your nonprofit going to be obtaining the land for that as well? As you know, you go further along the process of producing these?
My vision really is to get 300 and some acres of land and then use that to help the homeless produce trees that would create yielding harvest for that solution, while also ensuring that we can take and even put a name on a tree if they want to, and then have that be the legacy that they leave behind through Cherish These Words.
Amen. Amen.
And if that tree ever was destroyed, then replacing it, obviously.
And how long would it take? Like, if let's say you got the 300 acres of land in 2021, how long would it take for that to become a production facility for the fruit and things like that?
I start right off that, and then have it take for a tree to yield a harvest. That would be out of my control. That's all God's will on how long that takes and then which trees you use for which fruits and all that. But amen. More than likely, it would be a couple years, I would assume.
Yeah, amen, amen. And there's several other programs just like this. I mean, not just like the fruit trees. I'm talking about the different areas that you're talking about, you know, that you're hitting all these different areas. And that is so cool because, like you said at the beginning, you're just not focused on helping the homeless. You know, you're talking about employment. You're talking about, you know, taking care of their needs now. They're talking about retraining and giving them a career path, and that as you're training them, that they're blessing other people, like, you know, sending food to the food pantry and the baby foods and different things like that. This isn't just willy-nilly thoughts in the air. I mean, you've given some great thought to this, and they're actually all interconnected, I guess you could say, right?
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. And what other ones have you got? Because, I mean, I'm getting excited about this. This is really cool.
Definitely. One of the biggest things on my list of concern out there was the graveyards, how a bunch of graveyards are being, just put to the side, not taken care of. They become derelict, and then you have to consideration that takes up all that land, and we're not using it effectively. Even if we use it and still maintain it all day, it's not being used effectively still, because why do we have solar farms? Why can't we combine the two together where, say, there's a pavilion providing the solar energy to the power grid, which would also help cut down on the chances of a graveyard becoming derelict, because now you can walk into the pavilion and you can see your loved ones. They can get, like, say, a cut that would help maintain the property. And it would probably save like 40% of the land if you combine the two together. And as we grow in population, that land is going to become a very vital source. If you don't already know about the circumstances where we're running out of space for graveyards, and the graveyards have to double up graves or take out bodies and then cremate them to make up new space. So this just like solves all that in one.
Yeah, amen. So explain that again about the pavilion, because I you just covered it. I want people to catch the vision on this.
Yeah, definitely. So my concern was, one of the things is when you go to a graveyard, and let's say it's snowing and it's icy and all that, and that's the only time that you can go see your relative and all that, you really don't want to risk falling or getting hurt or anything like that. But if you can, say, walk underneath the pavilion that's, you know, safe from the elements, you can pay respects whether it's raining or whatever. And then, you know, another benefit is that, let's say you had a little hearing system, you can listen to your loved one's voice through this system, because after all, it's because of the solar energy that we're providing power to the grid. So why can't we get something back for that? You know what I mean? Like, listen to our loved one's voice, and then the extra power that's not being used is circulated through different households and the power grid, and it just solves a whole bunch of problems. And there's a lot of value in this, because let's say that a few hundred to a few thousand dollars can go to that graveyard, that means they can ensure that that much money can go to helping to maintain the property and not having it where the tombstones turn black and then break apart or all that from not being maintained appropriately.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, that is. And it's needed, too. I mean, you know, when I'm driving down the road, I live near Baltimore, and it's like the amount of space taken up. I mean, a couple of these graveyards, these cemeteries around here have been in existence since like the early 1800s. And there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of acres in the midst of the city. I mean, it's just, you know, it's the amount of land that's being used, right? And it's all overcrowded. I mean, they're right, like piled right on top of each other, too. I mean, it's, you know, just waste of space. I mean, these people have been buried for 200 years, you know, and it's important to maintain the dignity. I mean, don't get me wrong, folks. I'm not talking about, you know, let's dig them all up and make a townhouse out of it or something. But, yeah. You know, Christopher's idea is cost effective, space effective, respect for the dead and their legacy. It's all wrapped in one. That is awesome. Amen. Amen. Now, there are several other programs out there like these on your website, which is at ChristopherWayneJones.com, by the way, for our listeners out there. That website, again, www.ChristopherWayneJones.com. But you help people in so many different ways on your website. And the one I want to look at again, because we didn't really cover this aspect of it, was in helping people basically to earn an income. Not just through the job, but you also help them to build their own affiliate program. Explain how that works.
Yeah, there's a few programs out there that I'm taking part in. One of them is through trading stocks using Forex trading. And another one is through credit repair for people who want to help other people with their credit and earn money from doing that. Because, I mean, if you think about it, there's all these families, 54 million or more people right now who are really going down in trouble with their credit due to the circumstances of this pandemic. And I'm not even sure if you're allowed to even say that on air, but it's pretty much the truth.
Yeah. Amen. And Noble Hire, cherish these words and these affiliate programs. They're all listed on your website, right?
Yep.
Amen. So, They're not under the Mall of Hope themselves. I need to make that distinction. These are business opportunities, right?
Correct.
Okay. And, you know, there's so much I could ask you about. Golly. All these different nonprofit opportunities that are under Mall of Hope, they're going to make a difference around the world from, like I say, from creating this hearing impaired restaurant you were telling us about, to planting trees, to fighting poverty in Africa. I mean, there's what, I think if I counted correctly, there's 9 different projects you support through Mall of Hope.
Yep.
Amen. Amen.
And the goal with those 9 is to actually cut down on the waste that goes into landfills, start solving the land that we're wasting there and making sure that the environment's better. We can create a better impact for companies that are struggling, people who are struggling, pets, animals, the whole 9. I want to restore the balance in this world and God's image.
Yeah, amen. And just to summarize again, it's the fighting poverty in Africa, education. Tell us about this education part again. I don't know if we covered that. I can't remember.
We didn't cover that one yet.
Okay, yeah, go ahead.
For the education one, you know, I came up with that because, you know, all these different schools that are going out of business and then a bunch of other things like the amount of money going out to credits per hour and cost for that. Well, I have an idea, and I'm hoping that I can get the education bureau involved in this, would be what if we can have, say, one person do the recording, have it be an online thing that you can look at, and then the school teachers would be able to start doing one-on-one teaching. It would cut down on the amount of hours cost, saving college students tons of money. I mean, obviously, teachers can still run, you know, special classes and stuff like that. But the idea is if we cut down on the time that they're doing the same educational classes, because after all, it's all going to be the same relatively, just maybe different way of how they handle it. But it's all from the same industry saying that this is what the curriculum is for this year, so why are we doing that curriculum times 1,000, for example, if we can do it one recording and then have that 990 times more effective one-on-one teaching, so that way students can become better students and be able to actually do better in getting what they're trying to get towards. Because all these people who go get it and spend thousands of dollars and then don't even get into the field because they don't meet the cut, and it's because of this big issue right here.
And like I said, spending $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 on education, and then, you know, you can't get a decent job, and you end up working at a restaurant or something like that. I mean, it's, you know, it becomes, the cost effectiveness is what's really important, because if these school districts and the colleges and all that could find a way of making sure this is the subject needs to be taught. Like you said, this is what we're going to teach this year. This is the standard. This is what they need to learn. And then that's the biggest complaint, especially in public schools, is the lack of one-on-one. You know, it's always, I'm just one of 40, 50 people in the classroom. And there might be five science teachers, and they're all teaching the same exact thing, but in different ways. You know?
Definitely.
And, you know, this teacher over here focuses on the hands-on aspect. This teacher over here focuses on just what the book says because she doesn't really know. But if you have one, that, like you said, that one primary instruction on video, and then the rest of the class is spent helping the kids do the work, you know, that makes so much sense.
Definitely. And, like, I'm a prime example candidate on that. Growing up, my GPA in high school when I ended was 2.78. So I was a terrible student, special ed too. But then I went to college and I got a 3.98 GPA. I only got that deduction because of college level algebra. Sorry, Einstein, not me.
me too.
I tried. I was like, I wish it would have just given me that 4. But that's another story. And then you take into consideration that I went through college. I have like $70,000 in student loans still. But the fact of the matter is that I never get a job in it.
Amen.
You got to have experience. You got to have so many years after you get out of college, and then you can't get it because of whatever reasons. And then you get to consideration not only that, but then you have the circumstances where you can get that degree, but now your state might not have any jobs for that degree.
And then, you know, you get a pandemic kicked in there and nobody's working, you know.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, I know that, you know, you talk about college algebra. That was my algebra, trigonometry, all that stuff in high school were my weakest classes. And, I mean, I struggled to get through them. So much so that when I went to college, I was in the military, so I pieced together my college over 9 years, right? Taking classes here, classes there type thing. But college algebra was one of the last classes I took. It was like, golly, I guess I have to take it type thing.
That's how I felt. I had to print out thousands of pages just to pull through it.
But it was so neat because I had learned so much over those 10 years basically that, you know, when the instructor was saying, oh, okay, I get that. I mean, I got like a B minus in the class. I wasn't excelling at, but I was, my brain had, I guess, matured enough where I could grasp the concepts now. I was like, why couldn't I get this like 20 years ago? I don't get it.
Yeah, definitely.
But I was so glad to get that out of the way. You know? But yeah, that was like, I had like 4 classes left to graduate, and College Algebra 1. I just had to do level 1. That was one of the 4 classes that I had waited until the very end before I tackled it. So I can relate to what you're saying. Amen.
And then right after that, my brain was fried.
Yeah, exactly. Amen. But yeah, let me recap all these different programs again under Mollahoe. We got poverty in Africa, the education we just talked about, the graveyards, the homelessness, the mattress system, the trees, amen, the hearing impaired restaurant you told us about, the pets with the veterinarians working together, and the sand. I love that sand and plastic problem. Oh, that is so cool. And all these different projects, folks, are housed in the Mall of Hope as a nonprofit. Correct, Christopher?
Correct.
Okay. Now, all this sounds really amazing. How can someone check out everything we've talked about today and get more information?
Starting up by going to the ChristopherWayneJones.com. That's pretty much where everything is consolidated. Yep. For, you know, simple 1 to 3 minute videos in each topic to reacquaint yourself with it. And then I also provide my email and my phone number directly if you want to reach me.
Okay. And all that's on the website, right?
That is correct.
Okay. If someone wanted to email you, I don't recommend doing a phone number on recordings, but if you want to give your email address, that's fine.
Yeah, so my email address is the same as the site, just at Yahoo.
Okay.
ChristopherWayneJones@yahoo.com.
Amen.
That is correct.
Amen. And Christopher, all this sounds, I mean, I can see it growing. Folks, you really need to check out Christopher's website. There are so many opportunities for you on there, from seeking a job to generate an additional income by sharing this information with others, to donate to various projects, all under the nonprofit Mall of Hope. It is a nonprofit. And I really encourage you to reach out to Christopher today by clicking on the link to his website in the show notes down below. You know, if you have a question, you can email him through the website. You can email him at ChristopherWayneJones@yahoo.com. But I really, really encourage you to go to the Mall of Hope. Look at some of these things that he is raising funds for, not just to attend to a symptom and a problem. He is working to cure the problem. And that is what makes his nonprofit different from many of the other ones that are out there. Folks, go to down in the show notes, go down the link below, click the link to his website at ChristopherWayneJones.com and check it out. Listen to some of the videos. Read it, do the research, and support Christopher. Send a donation in to whatever one of these topics, you want to make an impact with. Because if you're a pet lover, do the pet one. If you're, an environmentalist, you want to help with the sand and plastic problem, I mean, that's a great, I'm still impressed by that. I'm still talking about it. Amen. But go to the website, ChristopherWayneJones.com, click the link, get in touch with Christopher today, take a look around. Christopher, thank you so much for joining us today and sharing all about your vision to make a difference in this world, not only today, but well into the future as well. I do appreciate it.
Thank you.
Amen. Folks, that is all the time we have for today. For Christopher Jones and myself, this is Pastor Bob reminding you to be blessed in all that you do. Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this. Your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can. and become a faith caster. Faith casters, your voice, your platform, your success.